Let's hit it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me live on Diz Dad's podcast number 392 for Sunday, April 24th, 2016 are Terry Hawkins.
Bottoms up, gentlemen.
Tim Hicks.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Justin West.
Cheers.
Now, tonight on the podcast, we're going to be talking about one of our favorite Walt Disney World topics that really I'm surprised we haven't talked about on the show yet, and that is our favorite Walt Disney World bars and lounges. And somehow it's appropriate on the night we're talking booze that we're running a little late, we're running a little disorganized. I apologize in advance if the sound is a little muddy. Hope things get straightened out as we go. We're kind of adjusting on the fly. So please do let us know if you know you're hearing too much echo, we're not loud enough. Let us know through the chat room at diztalkradio.com, and I'll be able to adjust a bit on the fly.
And any slurring is strictly part of the recording equipment. It has nothing to do with the topic at hand.
It's purely the part of the audio production. All right, so before we jump into our bars and lounge discussion, I do want to take a moment and thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right, straight into our bars and lounges discussion. As is, I think, typical with this sort of topic, we couldn't even really get into the discussion without a little bit of controversy. So, Terry, maybe you can give people a little bit of a background here on the controversy of what ought to be included in a discussion of favorite bars and lounges.
Sure thing. Yeah, that became a difficult topic right off the start. What qualifies as a bar? What's a lounge? What's a restaurant? So the way we kind of took this was it has to serve at least four different types of alcoholic drinks. It must have a limited food menu, not a full food menu. And there must be seating within stumbling distance.
Right. So we weren't going to insist on, you know, regular lounge seating. There's a number of places that would qualify, but, you know, they have outdoor seating, and sometimes it's shared with other locations. We figured that was okay. Those locations would just maybe, you know, take a hit in the rankings because of, you know, not having maybe ideal seating situation.
Yeah, that's right. And just to let everybody know, we came up with, I think it's 81 different options here, and making up the list here, I realized, man, I've hit every ride at Disney and every attraction at Disney, but I am sorely lacking in hitting every lounge.
Challenge accepted.
Slacker.
All right, and you know, actually, we did let we turned over to Terry the job of actually compiling our list. I don't know whether we turned it over to him or he claimed it, but either way, he did generate quite the list for us.
Yeah, like you say, 81 different bars and lounges, all meeting the qualifications of four different types of drink, seating area other than a floor, and serving a limited food menu.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of the background for what we were going for here. And one other consideration, and Terry, you kind of maybe glossed it. I don't think you mentioned it. We did say that one of the rules had to be that they don't take reservations, right? No ADRs here. And the whole idea for a bar or lounge is it's got to be someplace you could, you know, drop in. And that is, I think, one of the things that sets these kinds of locations apart, because there are some restaurants, for example, that have really great drink service or really great bars, but that doesn't necessarily count if you can't just go hang at the bar.
That's true, and that's where I might have one or two on the list that don't qualify. But
Okay. All right, well, we'll argue about those when and if we get to them. So I guess what we ought to do is you know, stop dilly-dallying here and jump right into the discussion. I've got a list of, you know, to start with on my end, of a top five. I don't know how many you all ranked. Obviously, I have more than five that I enjoy, but, you know, there were five that I ranked. So I'm going to start with, you know, number five on lists. If you've got more than that, we'll talk about them as honorable mentions. And as list organizer, I'm going to call on Terry to get the discussion started with one of his favorite bars or lounges.
Okay, coming in at number five on my list is Dockside down at Disney Springs. That's in behind the boathouse, and it's sitting out on the water. It's not someplace you want to go maybe in on the cooler days, but on a warm day, there's nothing that beats sitting there out in the middle of the water, having a drink, a little bite to eat. They've got TVs and that out there, and it's generally pretty quiet because most people don't really see it or know that it's back there.
Yeah, it's kind of over on the back side of the restaurant from the side that you would approach the restaurant from.
Yeah, it's right out over top of the water. You walk down the dock there to get to the actual bar.
All right. So Terry has started us down at Disney Springs with one of his favorites. Any particular food or drink item that stands out there for you?
To tell you the truth, I had three or four there, which, yeah, terrible surprise there, guys. And I don't recall, but I did enjoy every one of them. And the service was good. The pours were heavy, not light.
Okay. So Terry enjoyed the Dockside Bar there at the boathouse. Justin, what's number five on your list?
Well, I didn't really take the time to rank things.
It's okay. Just give us one of the most.
Let's go ahead and I'll throw this one out there. I had a very good time at the Diz Dad's convention here this last January at the Martha's Vineyard Lounge. It was a nice atmosphere. The live music was an added bonus, and it was quiet. It wasn't too. I don't want to say it was quiet as we were there, but it was kind of off the beaten path, so it wasn't like a lot of traffic through there and everything. It was a nice place to just relax.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I don't think they have the live entertainment there all the time, but you know what they did have when we were there was pleasant. It was a you know, good addition.
That was a really, really fun time. I agree with Justin there on that. That was a blast.
Yeah,
we're still waiting for the recordings of my wife rushing the stage in her wheelchair to emerge.
I actually didn't get that on audio, unfortunately. Sorry about that. I did get some audio captured. I released some of that with one of the podcasts right after the convention, but that particular point, I believe I had already packed up the recorder, unfortunately. All right, so Tim, what's number five on your list?
Oh, clearly you have saved the village lush for last. I'm gonna stick with Terry on this one and stay in Disney Springs. The number five on my list is Raglan Road, and it's a place that I only just discovered at DDCC in January this year. I know it's been around and just never took the inclination to go over there and try it. And man, am I glad I did. I love that place. The beer selection is good. And we've talked about this on a podcast before. Unusual beers that, in January you could get there that you couldn't get in most of your package stores. So that's number five on my list.
Yeah, and Raglan Road is an interesting example on this list because it is one of those ones that's kind of, on that edge between restaurant, lounge, all of that. And I think the key here really is that they do have bar service where, they'll admit you can go, you can sit at the bar, even if you don't have an ADR.
Right, it's one of those borderlines. They do take ADRs, for if you want to sit and eat, but you can still walk in and go right to the bar. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess that brings us around to me and the number five on my list. And I had a really hard time because I really did want to rank these and be able to justify why these were where they are on my list. So after a lot of consideration, a lot of back and forth, I'm going to go with the Tutto Gusto Wine Bar as number five on my list. It's the lounge that they carved out of Tutto Italia in the Italy Pavilion in Epcot. And I probably wouldn't even really know about it, except that when they came out with that Epcot After Hours thing, the After Hours wind down, that they only ran for a little while.
During Food and Wine Festival, right?
It was after Food and Wine Festival, because I did it in like April. Yeah, it was a couple of years ago in late April, right around this time of year, actually. And it was I happened to be there for other reasons and met some friends there, and it worked right. Like, it's not something I normally would have done. I wouldn't have booked it with my family if they were there. I mean, it wasn't that kind of atmosphere. But because I was there solo and was meeting a couple who are also adults, it made a lot of sense. We figured we'd try out this after hours thing. We had a great time. I can't really speak for the atmosphere at Tutto Gusto all the time, but during the after hours, it was, I think the event was sold out because, most of the tables were full. And people were coming and going, but they had nice small plates kinds of food available. Obviously, you've got the full restaurant right there, but we were eating from the bar menu, the small plate stuff, and a really nice selection of wines that were not too terribly overpriced. I mean, you're always paying extra for wine if you're drinking it in a bar, but I didn't think the prices were outrageous at all considering what they were pouring. And it was just a really nice, pleasant experience. And I think what I liked about it was that it was that combination of an adult atmosphere because it was a bar lounge situation, and it was also very relaxed. It was easy to sit there and have a conversation with the people I was there with, because that, to me, those are kind of the big considerations for me for really enjoying a lounge, is the ability to both, enjoy the things that they're serving me and enjoy the company of the people I'm with. There are a lot of places that are either too loud to do that, or, they're not comfortable or whatever, and Tutto Gusto was both. It was quality food, decent service, and really able to carry on a conversation and enjoy the company of the people I was there with. All right, so we've all shared a number five. Let's go back to the self-appointed Village Lush and let Tim give us number four on his list.
Yes, the Village Lush. Okay, so I know I'm going to get pushed back on this one too, but my number four is the Tambu Lounge next to Ohana, simply because, okay, I know it's right next to the restaurant. That's probably what you're going to fuss at me. But, the thing is, that's the one place where you can get the most unusual things, like the Lapu Lapu or the back scratcher, the things that you just can't find anywhere else on property, and I absolutely love those.
Now, Tambu is an honorable mention on my list. I agree. I think it's, to me, the biggest hit on Tambu is that it can be difficult to get a place for a group to sit together. You know, back to my issue of wanting to be able to sit and talk to the people I'm there with, just because of the Ohana weight overflow that tends to be, you know, sort of fill the space. There is a lot of seating as once you get kind of farther from the lounge. But you're right, the thing that really makes it stand out is, I would say, two things. The signature drinks and our experience there with the Diz Dance group, at least, has been that we've gotten really sort of above and beyond service just about every time we've been there.
Yeah, and the other thing about it, the seating arrangement is, it seems like every time I'm there, there's some major sporting event going on, so everybody's huddled around the TVs, you know, trying to see the basketball playoff or the football, you know, playoff game or whatever it is. So it's hard to, you know, find a place to sit and just have a conversation and a drink.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly the same reasoning why Tambu hit honorable mention for me too. It's just the seating, the drink selection pushed yourself way up,
and then it gets dragged back down.
Yeah.
I'll echo that sentiment as well. It's always the precursor to an awesome meal, so it gets the honorable mention. It's sometimes hard to get a drink there. It's pretty busy, but. But the drinks there are pretty darn tasty.
Well, and Jess Waringen would probably shame me publicly if I didn't make sure to mention that one of the other important things about Tambu Lounge is that you can order the bread pudding dessert at the lounge. So,
that's
so Lapu Lapu with a bread pudding dessert.
Get out of here.
Skip dinner. Almost.
A back scratcher for your main course and you're set.
There you go. Well, see, the advantage of Lapu Lapu is it comes in a pineapple, so you could always argue that the pineapple is your main course.
There you go. Well, I don't know. That's just the first course, right?
Perhaps. All right, so Justin, what's number four on your list?
All right, this one, I might get a little... There might not be much agreement with me just for location and everything, but it holds a dear place in my heart, and that's the Tune-In Lounge at the studios. They're right next to the 50s Primetime Diner. My first trip there as an adult, I was there with my brother-in-law, and it was the summertime, it was hot, and we found this little bar that, you know, seemed like it was just tucked away and nobody knew where it was. And it wasn't too crowded and it had just had a real nice atmosphere. And it was a great little place, and it's the Tune-In Lounge. So I always make it a point to go over there and sit at the bar and have a drink, usually by myself. It's my little spot to go and have a little rest.
Yeah, it was a close call for me, but Tune-In actually was number four on my list as well. And it for me, makes it because of all of the lounges, I think it is a standout when it comes to food. They basically will serve you anything that's on the 50s Primetime menu, but even their focused, you know, lounge menu, which is more kind of small plates oriented, is all good stuff. They do a great job. A lot of bars, sometimes when you order, you know, real food, it can kind of come out maybe, you know, not garnished right, or, you know, comes out a little cold because they're distracted by serving drinks and things. Never had an issue with that at Tune-In. Everything comes out hot and fresh, done right, and good food. And for some reason, I always run into CJ there. Although that seems to be a common thread, because he came up in a reference to Tambu as well.
Speaking of Village Lush.
the other great thing about Tune-In Lounge is that, or perhaps the best thing about Tune-In Lounge is that you can get a PB&J milkshake with a shot of Kahlua. And when you order that, it's a little closer to a bottle than a shot of Kahlua. And
they do pour generously. I'll give them
they do.
Plenty of options for that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've always gotten good service there. And even if I'm just ordering a cold Yingling, you know what? It's a cold Yingling. And it always hits the spot.
Yeah, see, I like to get a late lunch there a lot of times because I'm not generally fond of most of the counter service options at Hollywood Studios. And so I'll get like the crab cake, or if I'm really hungry, I'll get the crab cake and the salad. And I get a decent size lunch, but it's good food and it's really not that much more expensive than the counter service, you know, combo meal would have been. Now, the price goes up when I get a drink with it, but, you know, I expect that.
But would you have done that anyway? It's possible.
Yeah, probably. I mean, but I'm, you know, I may be getting a more expensive drink than the, you know, draft Yingling.
True.
It's only strike for me, and the reason that it couldn't get any higher than 4 on my list is it does get really crowded there, and if you're there with more than 1 or 2 people, you know, getting a place to sit together can be difficult because there really are only, what, maybe a dozen seats at the bar?
Yeah, I guess that's why it made my list, because I'm always mostly going in there by myself.
Sure.
So it's not hard usually for me to find a seat by myself and sit there. But to make a top 5 at Disney World, you know, it's left its impression on me.
Oh, sure. It definitely leaves its mark. All right, so we need to get a number 4 now from Terry.
All right, I'm stretching the rules on this one a little bit. And I'm going with kimonos.
Right,
and
so
the reason it's a bit of a rule stretcher is...
Yeah, I mean, I'll let kimonos slide primarily because of the, you know, the karaoke bar aspect of it, right? Because it does give it more of a lounge atmosphere than a, you know, dining room atmosphere. And they were really good about accommodating people there, you know, without reservations.
Yeah, and then my understanding is they do that more on karaoke nights than other nights. And so that... What's more loungy than singing, you know? And their food selection is great. Their drink selection, I quite enjoyed most of the ones they had there. You know, their fruity foo-foo drinks are really quite good. And we had an awful lot of fun there. So.
We did.
And their karaoke list is pretty expansive.
You know, it's the only place I've seen in the world that has the Tragically Hip on their karaoke list, and most of you down in the States won't know who that is, but a fantastic Canadian band.
Yeah, we're not Tragically Hip.
Yeah,
no.
I was indulging in a number of different ginger-based cocktails during the DDCC bar crawl. For some reason, I started with the Moscow Mule, so I kind of was on a kick of these ginger drinks. And I got to say that the ginger drink I got at Kimono's was by far the best of the night. I had 2.
That's all?
Well, 2 of those at Kimono's. Yeah. All right, so we've gotten number 4s from everybody. We're about halfway up the list. And I think we need to give Tim a chance to go first. So what's number 3 on your list, Tim?
Okay, I have a tie for number 3, so I'm cheating because I've got 2 in there. So my ties for 3 are the Dawa Bar in Animal Kingdom and High Octane Refreshments in Hollywood Studios. They both pour some really good drinks. High Octane Refreshments pours a very stiff drink, and that's the one place that I've been that the bartender and... You know me, I know most of the bartenders in the places that I frequent, but the bartender suggested to me when I was just going to, you know, I was just going to get a Schopenhauer, and he says to me, have you ever tried the Schopenhauer mixed with some Sam Adams Cold Snap? And I said, well, no, I haven't. And he mixed that up for me, and man, that was good. So, you know, not only are they pouring really good drinks, you know, they'll mix up a lot of interesting things for you, just, you know, straight out, you know, off the reservation, off the map, off the menu.
See, that's a great suggestion, because the one, you know, hit for against Schopenhauer is that it's a little overly light. We've talked about this before. I mean, it's basically 2% alcohol. And
exactly.
So what you were getting essentially was a fortified Schopenhauer.
Exactly. And the taste was really good. I mean, there's something about the maybe it's a little bit of hoppiness of Cold Snap that just really, you know, it melded well with the grapefruit flavor of the Schopenhauer. I'd never thought of, you know, mixing those two like that. But he's like, here, give this a try. I'm like, okay, twist my arm.
All right, so you've talked up high octane quite a bit. I know that Dawabar is on a lot of lists. I'm going to guess, and maybe you can talk a little bit about it. But I'm going to guess we're going to hear more from Terry about Dawabar here pretty shortly.
Huzzah!
I mean, I haven't seen his list yet, but.
The Dawabar, they make some, interesting signature drinks. They're not particularly strong, but, you're in a theme park, so you expect that. But you can, the one plus to Dawa is you can walk right across the sidewalk to get one of those Dole Whips with rum in it, and that qualifies.
That's true. That's a nice little bonus. All right, so we're still on number threes. Justin, what was number three on your list?
Okay, well, I'm going to say that this is not in Terry's list here that he sent us, and so it's probably breaking a rule, but the hell with it. Rose and Crown for me, the bar.
I think the Rose and Crown pub counts. There's a walk-up counter on that side. So where you don't need an ADR, so that would count,
right? Yeah, but it only serves drinks. The walk-up bar. That was my issue.
Okay. Well,
but we'll allow it because it is awesome.
So talk about why, even without food, it makes your list of favorite bars and lounges.
First of all, it's just a great little atmosphere. You walk in and you feel like you're. Though I've never been. In England or the UK, I can only imagine that's what a lounge or a little pub looks like when you walk in and you saddle up there, get your Guinness or whatever other kind of beer or cocktail you might be interested in. And it's just got a nice little feel. I'm going to throw along with this the beer stand outside of Rose and Crown just as a little bonus, because I don't think I've ever walked by on a hot summer's day and not stopped and gotten a cold cider.
The siren call of the cider on a hot day is a tough one to beat.
It just has never happened. I might also stop in the Rose and Crown too, but... walking when it's hot out to stop for a cider is it's just like second nature for me.
Okay.
And if you're really hungry, you can just go to the fish and chip stands next to it and get some of that, right?
Well, that's true.
So will they let you bring that in the bar?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Yeah,
and if not, you get your drink at the bar to go, and sit at one of the tables outside with your fish and chips.
As long as it's not too hot, absolutely.
Yeah.
And watch for seagulls.
That's true.
They do like to be fed, right?
Well, I had to take them right off my plate.
Yeah, they've been known to dive bomb you, or dive scoop you, really.
Yeah.
Hey, here's fish I don't have to work for.
Exactly. All right, so we've gotten number threes from a couple of folks. I'm going to go ahead with my number three, and this was a tough call. This one might have ended up higher on my list, but it's going to come in at number three. It was a tough call to put this there, but I'm going to go with La Cava del Tequila. I love La Cava to death. I enjoy the great variety of tequila there. One of my favorite lunches at Epcot is a tequila flight and the La Cava appetizer trio. But it takes a hit and bumps down the list just a little bit. Only because it's so popular, nobody goes there anymore, right? I mean, the place, the last two times I've tried, there was just no way. The wait to wait for a table was more than I could take. So, Terry, I want to remember this. We're going to make time for La Cava here in May.
Well, when's opening? That's the best time to get a table, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
They open at 11. I'm just saying, they open at 11.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience, we'll be
our
there.
Fast pass is set for 10:55.
You got it.
So anyway, so La Cava's number three on my list. It could be higher. It's just It's tiny, and I don't know that they've even got any room to expand there. I mean, maybe if they knocked out a wall, they could come, you know, towards the stairs. But on the one hand, you know, the little hole in the wall nature of it gives it its character, and I wouldn't want it to lose that either. So it's a tough call. But I can't make it any higher on the list because there are too many times where I really want to go enjoy La Cava, and it's not possible because, you know, it seats 50 people and it's packed.
Well, here's the qualification for that, though. You know, even though they want a reservation or, you know, they want to put your name on the list to sit at a table, you still can walk into the bar and either get some tequila or a margarita and just take it out. So that does work.
That's true. And that helps a little bit. I so enjoy being able to relax with that tequila flight and the trio that's what I'm always, you know, disappointed in missing. And so that doesn't so much work from the walk-up counter. But point is well taken.
I'm going to just go ahead and throw it. That's my number two.
Okay.
La Cava, you know, while we're talking about it, so we might as well transition. They have so many great margaritas there. They've got some interesting combinations from your classic margarita to, you know, the blood orange or that avocado. Is just outstanding. Something I never would have thought of, and I never don't leave happy from La Cava.
Yeah. Oh, I love the unusual combinations. I think they only use this or make this one available seasonally. But the tamarind margarita they have sometimes is wonderful. It's really, really good. And I'm not usually a fan of sweeter drinks, and the tamarind is a little bit sweeter, but it's so good. Terry in particular would enjoy it because it's, you know, along the lines of the fruity drinks that he tends to prefer.
I'm enough to love the fruity drinks.
If you like the sweet ones, you got to try the horchata margarita. It's unbelievable, but it is sweet.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Put that on the list.
We're doing it.
There's one that's got a little bit of a spiciness to it, and I can't remember which one that one is.
Is it the jalapeno one, or is it one that has habanero in it?
I think it was the habanero one, and I can't remember which one it was, but it had that right balance of the sweetness and the spice and everything nice. And the chips and other things that you can get there pair well, and I do like that it's small. That's why it's high on the list. It's small, so you feel when you do have a seat in there, you feel that you're getting the attentiveness, and it is La Cava, so it's a little cave down there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we've got, we transitioned to number two. Is anybody, Terry,
nope,
did you get
nope.
your three in yet?
I didn't get my three in yet.
All right, so what's your number three?
I should say that I'm only ranking ones that I've been to as opposed to ones that I've really, really wanted to go to. So number three on my list is Jock Lindsay's Hangar.
Yeah.
And it would have gone higher on my list because the theming is unbelievable and the drink selection is pretty good. I just find that the food selection just lacks a little bit. The food, what they offer is good, but it's just not quite the lounge food that I'm looking for, but it is someplace that I can go and hang out for a good 2 or 3 hours, just enjoying the atmosphere and sipping some cocktails.
Yeah, actually, that's a nice transition. I'll jump in right after you because Jock Lindsay was number two on my list. And, you know, my assessment is actually pretty similar to yours. I thought the drinks were excellent. I actually got the monkey head, the chilled monkey head, and you know, paid the ridiculous cost for the monkey head cup, which I still use regularly. And it's one of those things, what stood out about it to me is that a lot of times those, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, drinks designed to sell the cup are just really kind of nasty. for lack of a polite way to put it, they're just not very good. And I thought the chilled monkey brains was excellent. It's not overly sweet, but it is somewhat sweet. You know, it's got enough booze in it that you can taste the booze, but it's not so over the top boozy that it's, you know, unpleasant to drink. It's just really good quality, and I've had two or three different drinks there. All of them were pretty solid. I would agree with Terry, the menu, it's a tough call. I appreciate that they've gone the extra mile in theming there. You know, they don't just throw chicken wings on the menu. The stuff that's on that menu is all really well themed for the location, and the theming overall is outstanding. But it could be a little more
chicken wings.
You know, interestingly, my issue that I have with the food menu, I think I had the meatball sliders there.
Yep.
My issue with that, if you can believe it or not, is that it was too much. it wasn't lounge food to me. That was a meal.
Right, okay.
And, you know, there was just a lot in there. And that's... So it's good value for the dollar that way at Disney, but it's one of those cases where less is what I was expecting had room for.
It's a tricky balance when you do small plates like that because... I mean, theoretically, the way that's supposed to work, right, is that three people are out together, you order two small plates, and you pass them around and share. And so, you know, it's supposed to be kind of like, you know, two-thirds of a meal, so to speak, or something along those lines. And the problem is if everybody gets their own and, you know, people aren't sharing, then it is a lot of food. And then the flip side is if you're marketing them and selling them as small plates, but... you know, they're so small that they're not really shareable, it sort of defeats the purpose of a small plates menu.
Yeah, and I guess my other issue with that is three people. I mean, you're often out two couples is somebody's going hungry.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's two people, then you know, you're ordering one thing, you're ordering two things, and then you have a lot of stuff, and that's, you're right. At that point, it becomes a lot of food, and, you know, you get to taste everything, but maybe it is too much, and I can see that. I mean, it's the need to put three sliders on a plate. I've never seen any place serve two sliders. Have you?
No, three sliders, but, I mean, these were, like, half my fist-sized meatballs, right? They were...
All right, so smaller portion would work.
I'm
just going to call you out here. Quit whining about it. You're going to sit there and you're going to drink.
It's taking up room for the alcohol. But...
Drink more. Stay more.
There you go, Terry. Just have a
You're not there to shrink your stomach, Terry. I'm just saying.
All right. So that kind of made the turn to the number twos on our lists.
Tim's got to go.
Yeah, I got to get my number two in.
Well, no, that was just saying. We were just starting with our number twos here.
Okay.
So Tim, what's two on your list?
Well, before I get to two and one, I will qualify how I ranked these. And we've talked about, you know, what the rules were. And then on top of that, I'm looking for, you know, the quality and taste of the drink, the atmosphere and all that. But even above that is the experience itself. And if I'm talking about places that... you know, I've had personal experiences more than one occasion with a certain person, a bartender, a server, or something like that. That's what really pushed these up to the top of my list. So my number two is the Tune-In Lounge. We've already talked about that. But the fact of the matter is, for me, the guy that, and now I feel stupid because I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's been there for probably 11 or 12 years now as the bartender. And he knows me when we walk in the door. He knows what I'm going to drink and how in the world... I mean, he serves thousands of people every day. How in the world he remembers us when we come in is beyond my imagination. But, you know, we come in and sit down. Of course, we do spend, you know, we'll spend 2 or 3 hours there, you know, especially if there's just not anything else that we want to do. And the kids know, and this is another of my qualifications, if both the boys' phones die and they don't know how to find us, where are they going to go looking for us? Well, they're going to go, if they were at Hollywood Studios, they're going to come find us in the Tune-In Lounge. So... it's just a given. You can't find us, go look here. That's the first place you're going to look. So, you know, that's why, even though, you know, yes, you're sharing room with all the people trying to get into 50s prime time, and, you know, it's tough to find a spot you know, if you hang around a little bit and just, you know, exercise a little patience, you can get a spot. And some of my experiences there have been so fun, and some I can't even mention, just, you know, for the sheer fact of the people that were involved. But that's what pushes that up to my number two.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way you characterize that, because I feel very similarly with the things that are on my list. It's really, for me, a bar or a lounge to enjoy it. It's about more than just the food and drink. It's really the atmosphere, and I thought I tried to explain some of that, but I like the way you put it. It's about that overall experience in the place. It does include, you know, more than just the decor and the food and drink. It's the atmosphere and the people as well.
You guys are making me happy, because I thought when I put it on my list, and I probably should have shuffled it up to the top of the list, but, you know, it's the memories, it's the things that I've experienced there, the people I've been there with, and just the times, you know, even by myself, sneaking into that place, I thought that it might, you know, not be... I thought I would be the only one with that one on the list, and I'm happy to hear that other people enjoy it as well.
Yeah,
I think it's on everybody's top 10, or at least their top 15.
Yeah, and I didn't want to steal your thunder, Justin, you know, because you have your reasons that you like it, and that's wonderful, and I think we all agree.
All right, so Terry, what was number two on your list?
Bellevue Lounge over at the Boardwalk. If you're looking for someplace to go and sit and relax with just a couple of people or so and have a comfortable chat, you can even go and conduct some business there if you want, and that's kind of the point of some trips, to write them off. you know, it's a great spot. They may not know what a Pimm's cup is, but what they serve you when you ask for it is pretty darn good too. So, the selection there was great, and I think the seats were just absolutely some of the most comfortable ones you could get around. So for sitting and lounging about, that's why that one cranked up to number two on my list.
Excellent choice. I think we're going to hear more about Bellevue, I predict. So, Justin, what was number two on your list?
Well, I think I mentioned it. The La Cava was number two for me. We've talked about that one a bit, but the margaritas there are good. The atmosphere is wonderful. And the little... I don't think I've ever ordered anything other than the chips with the guacamole and salsas and stuff as far as a snack goes, but it pairs well with the tequilas and margaritas.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we've gotten number twos from everybody. Justin, I'll let you kind of start us back around with your number one choice.
Okay, well... This is, I would say, not your traditional lounge or, you know, whatever. It's let's just go with it. I'll go with Sommerfest in Germany, paired with the Prenzlberg.
Now see, that's a tough call, because Sommerfest is actually a quick service location. I don't know that you get. I don't know that you can count that one.
I have it on the list there, so grant that a go.
Well, whatever, Germany outside of Beer Garden. We'll just go with that.
Okay, fair enough.
Whatever you can get your pretzels, you can get your beers, you can get your shots. There's four different types of alcohol you can order there.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Between them, you've got, you know, a number of different choices, and it's sort of in the aggregate, maybe we can count it as a lounge.
And so let me explain why this tops my list.
Sure.
It's because typically when I'm at Disney World, I'm with my family, and there's not always a lot of time, but there's usually time for a break. And there's never anything better for a break for me than a cold beer, be it a chauffeur offer or, you know, some kind of... other, you know, dark German beer. I'm a few into here, so I can't pull it off the top of my head. But
sure, sure.
There's nothing better late afternoon, early evening. The sun's going down. You got a pretzel there. It's not dinner time. It's not. It's past lunch. Just want a little snack. You want something cold to refresh you. You grab your beer. You grab your pretzel. You go saddle up on the lagoon there. Look out. You watch the sun. You know, you just kind of escape from the busyness of what's going on around you in Epcot. And for me, there's nothing better than that. You know, I probably spend less time there than any other place, you know, because it's usually just one. But when I sit there, I can look at the, I can look at Spaceship Earth across the way and the other countries as the sun's going down. Whether it's my first day or last day, always just, it fits right in. So that's not.
All right, all right. You make a compelling argument. I can take that. I hear you there, and I think that you know, I would have had to be careful where I walk when Paul's around if I didn't accept it. So we'll take it. But so number one for Justin is sort of the number of options there around the Germany Pavilion. It's sort of every place that's not Beer Garden where you can get a beer. What was number one on your list, Tim?
Well, I'm going to plug a previous podcast, the one where we covered my trip report in January, DDCC&C, and I talked a little bit about this. My number one is La Cava. And again, it's not just the fact that it's the quaint cave, that it's not just the fact that the avocado margarita, even though it's frozen and I don't like frozen margaritas, tastes like kiwi strawberry or something. It's just incredible. It's about the experiences that I've had there. And I think there are a lot of people, not just me, that have a particular server that, you know, they like and that knows them when they walk in. And we definitely do. Our guy there is Eriberto. We walk in, he knows us, even if he hasn't seen us in 2 years. You know, he even comes over and gives Angie a hug, and, you know, sometimes I'll even get a bro hug out of him. But, you know, Justin just kind of accused me a little bit ago of tipping particularly well. But I'll tell you what, with Eriberto, it's always a give and take. You know, I don't think I can outgive the guy. If I, you know, am leaving him an extra good tip, sometimes there's just some extra queso that'll show up on my table or something, and I don't want to broadcast that too terribly much. But, you know, and we had an experience. And I'll relay this to again because it was just such a funny experience. We were there. We decided to only go into the parks one day when we were there for DDCC, and we chose Epcot because that's our favorite place. And of course, we had to go over to Mexico so we could see Eriberto and have a margarita. Eriberto wasn't there, and so you know we were all feeling sad about it and upset and trying to figure out why he wasn't there because he's always there. He's never not there. And so they told us, oh, he's gone to Mexico. I'm like, Mexico? He didn't, like, move away. I'm like, I finally got it out of the manager that, no, he didn't move away. He was just taking a vacation with his daughter, you know, go to Mexico. And then the most interesting thing happened. The manager came over with his cell phone and says, here, you guys take a selfie. I'll send it to Eriberto. And so we did. We took a picture and he sent it to Eriberto and didn't, you know, we figured that was that. We finished up what we were doing. We were getting ready to leave. And as we were walking out to the sidewalk in front of the Mexico Pavilion, the manager actually ran out of Mexico and found us. He'd been looking all over the place for us because Eriberto had sent him a picture back to show to us of him and his daughter, you know, just saying, hey, you know, miss you guys. Hope to see you next time you're here. And you know, that is the 100%, 150% over and above experience that, you know, I can't imagine going to a place like, you know, Disney World that's a destination vacation and having somebody that knows you that well. And so that's why that tops my list.
All right. Yeah. That's such a great story. And one of those things that I don't know what it is about bars and lounges in particular, but I think you get more of those kinds of relationships with cast members in bars and lounges than you do in most other locations, you know, than you would even in a regular restaurant. I'm not sure what it is about the setting, because, you know, it's not like the servers are drinking the alcohol with you, so we can't blame the booze. But there do seem to be, you know, some personal relationships there that get established pretty quickly and have an impact on the experience that you have in a positive way.
You know, I've got a group of Facebook friends that are all just people that we've met while we were sitting in La Cava. You know, we'll be talking and we'll start cracking up with the next table over. Next thing you know, we're Facebook friends and trying to meet up with each other every once in a while. So it's just one of those things.
Yep. Tim, that was not an accusation. That was a compliment. You know, typical good service, and it's deserved, right?
Right. I did not take that badly, Justin. It's all good.
That's
all
right.
So number one on my list, and I'll be upfront, this may be a function of recency as much as anything else. But, you know, Bellevue Lounge bounced to the top of my list when I was making it. And it was really all the things that Terry was talking about Bellevue. It's just, it's what most of the time when I'm going to go hang out in a lounge, it's what I'm looking for. It's quiet, it's comfortable, it's relaxing. They make, you know, good drinks that are appropriately made, right? I mean, they're not amateur night, you know, too boozy because they don't know what they're doing, or watered down because they're trying to shave money off of off of the cost of their product. They just
Joe did remind us here that they do short you on Coke.
Right. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you get a little shorted on the Coke and the rum and Coke. That's true.
Oh, no.
But not, you know, not in an unpleasant way. And the one knock on it, and I really hadn't thought about this because, you know, when we were there, it wasn't on my mind. I wasn't looking for food. So it's true. I know that I think Joe mentioned it in the chat room here when it came up earlier that you know, Bellevue could use some improvement on the food that's available. I don't know that they've got much of anything really there in terms of food, but it really atmosphere wise won big time. From me. And I probably need to get back there and check it out later in the evening because it was a great place for kind of happy hour-ish time. It wasn't, you know, ridiculously crowded, but there were people there. Like I said, there were lots of comfortable places to sit and to relax. It was not overly loud in there. You could talk to each other. There was interesting stuff to look at without it being intrusive. Just a really great atmosphere.
It very much has that. It captures that perfect essence of a boardwalk 1920s, 1930s era boardwalk resort lounge.
Right, right. And it's funny because I don't even know who was the first one to do it. It probably was CJ, who ordered an old-fashioned when we first got there. That kind of set the tone. And it just seemed right, you know? I mean, there aren't many bars at Walt Disney World where ordering an old-fashioned would make a lot of sense. But at Bellevue, it just did. It felt right. It was the right kind of drink.
Yeah, it is true. It fit the theming.
Right, right.
And Bellevue had my list of honorable mentions, too, for most of the same reasons that you're talking about.
Paul in the chat room has reminded us that he ordered the old-fashioned. CJ spilled his.
It's not CJ's fault. That table moved a good 3 feet on him. It just jumped sideways.
Yeah. I made a note about, I think in the Twitter conversation about it, that CJ had the old-fashioned wetsuit after his old-fashioned.
Yeah.
All right. So has anybody not mentioned their number one yet? Terry, did you get a chance to?
Nope.
All right. So I think you've got your number one to share.
Well, when I think of lounge, I mean, my absolute ideal lounge is someplace that I can sit all day and not have to really get up from other than to go to the washroom and come back and just have a great, pleasant time. And there's only one place in all of Disney World where that criteria is met. And naturally, it's in the greatest park in Disney World, and that's the Dawa Bar. You know, the drink selection may not be the best, but you can sit there on a rainy day, on a hot, sunny day, and have just a fantastic time. It doesn't matter. You can people watch, you listen to the live music, you've got rum-infused Dole Whips just a stumbling distance across the walkway from you. Great bartenders, and the atmosphere you just can't be beat.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And one of the things I like about Dawa is that a lot of the theme park locations that are smaller bars like this have, you know, very sort of vanilla standard bar menus, and if they've got anything unique or interesting about them, it's, you know, maybe a beer. And Dawa has that, right? They've got the Safari Amber that they always have, but they kind of take it up another notch, and they've got some unique things that you're only going to find there. And you know, one of my favorites is that they have they only do these in the morning. So you know, you got to be there at Animal Kingdom in the morning and you know, ready to drink. But the some really unique Bloody Marys that they make at Dawa Bar in the morning.
And see, now that you've just moved it higher up on my list there, and I don't know where I can bring it from number one.
You just piqued my interest too. I'm there.
That's fantastic. And I mean, if you're not ready to drink first thing in the morning, you need to see a doctor.
Look, if you're not ready to drink first thing in the morning, you can't be friends with me. I'm sorry. It's
but it is, you get your vitamins with a Bloody Mary and all of that. That's breakfast and brunch all in one there.
There you go. Absolutely. Breakfast champions. So we've gotten through all of our lists, ranked 1 through 5, some interesting things. I do want to run through some of the ones that were shared with us on social media, just get some feedback on those, because I'm guessing that a lot of these were on honorable mention lists for us. And so want to mention some of these that came up, especially ones that came up, you know, multiple times. One that was mentioned several times and was definitely on my honorable mention list. It might have been a little higher had I spent more time there and had a little more experience with it, is the Territory Lounge at Wilderness Lodge. And several people mentioned it. Jeff Swearingen, James Cameron, a few other people mentioned Territory Lounge. Any of you guys have experience with Territory, and where would it have fallen for you? Is it an honorable mention for you?
Yeah, it hit my honorable mention list, not at the top of it, but very close. It's a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I like best about it is that it does have a bit more diverse of a food menu than a lot of the places we've talked about does. And some, you know, that they only have certain nights and that kind of thing, which to me is sort of blessing and curse. Like, I like the fact that the menu changes and that means that there's some different fresh things available. On the other hand, I don't live there. So if it doesn't fit in my trip to get there for fondue night, then it's just not an option, and there may only be one chance. So
and that's the thing for me. My experience with Wilderness Lodge is woefully lacking for just that reason. It's like, okay, what am I going to forego in order to go over there, you know, get on the monorail, because that's about the only way you can get there.
Well, but that's just it. You can't even get there on the monorail, right? You got to go.
Right.
It won't get you there. You got to get off at Magic Kingdom and then take a boat across.
Right. So it's not the easiest thing to do, so I just haven't done it.
Yeah.
Right, I'll kind of add on to that. The things that made my list were things that I've experienced.
Sure.
There's so many to experience at Walt Disney World, so everybody is gonna probably fall somewhere, you know, differently. But I think that we had enough similarities in our list that you know, the things that we did find in common are probably, you know, things that are good experience for all.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I mean, another one that came up quite a bit in the social media comments was The Wave, which a lot of us enjoyed 2 years ago at DizDad's Club Convention when we did our monorail bar crawl. The thing that held it back off of my list, because I think it's got some things that speak for it. I mean, it's got lots of good space. It's got some interesting things on the drink menus, the beer flight, and I believe there's a martini that Terry is particularly fond of.
That's wicked. The Wave was number one on my list, but I realized it didn't make my lounge list, it'd make my bar list. It's a great place to go with a buddy. It's not a great place to go with two buddies. Okay. Because then the seating there just doesn't really accommodate.
Right. So I agree. The two things that knocked it off of my list were the kind of odd seating, which is that almost all the seating is these, you know, a long booth along the wall. So if you're more than two people, you can't face each other and have a conversation. Which, by the way, is my criticism of the Boathouse bar that's, you know, the outside bar there, right on the...
Oh, the dock, yeah.
The dockside? Because it's
though you seat. Though with dockside, you can... I mean, I was carrying on conversations with the people on the other side of the bar. Well, on the two ends. I mean, the drink stand is too a little high to see, carry on a decent conversation with somebody on the other side. But, if you're more than four or six people, it does get a little difficult at dockside, but that's why it was number five on mine.
Right, right. And the other thing about The Wave is that weird blue lighting kind of got to me after a while.
It's just Avatar, man.
Yeah, you don't sit in the back of the blue room. You sit by the edge.
There were also a number of mentions of Top of the World Lounge, which couldn't make my list. I haven't had a chance to be there yet. But I would look forward to trying it one of these days. I don't know, gentlemen, I'm pretty sure all of you have tried Top of the World, so what kept it off of your lists?
I hit the restaurant at the lounge. And I just can't rack something that I haven't experienced it.
Fair enough.
Well, CJ and I were up at the Top of the World Lounge on this last trip. And the ratio of people to bartenders was really deplorable. I think they had one bartender for all the people in the room, and he was crabby and grouchy. So that was not, you know, for somebody that was experiencing that for the very first time, that's not exactly what you would call a Disney experience when, you know, you can't get a drink, and when you do, he's crabbing at you.
Right. That's true. That would be a problem.
Not had the chance to experience it.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then the last one that was coming across, you know, came across a couple of times in the social media lists was Misner's there at Grand Floridian. I think that those of us who were there at Misner's for the monorail bar crawl we did a couple of years ago, you know, all kind of had the same reaction, which was similar, frankly, to what was going on Top of the World, which is that they were sort of, they were full. There were a lot of people there, but they were understaffed. They were really slow serving people, and it just wasn't a particularly pleasant cast member interaction with folks at Misner's.
No, they were. I clearly remember there were people at some of our group standing at the bar for 20 minutes trying to get a drink as the bartender would repeatedly serve people that just walked up.
Yeah. And that was particularly annoying because I was getting ready to actually spend quite a bit of money because that was I was doing scotch tasting, so I was going to get the Johnny Walker Blue. That stuff's not cheap, and she didn't want to take my money. I mean,
that's not
cheap. Now, if you were gonna have a drink at the Grand Floridian, your better bet would be to go out to the pool bar. I've always had very good experiences out there, where you know the guys are really loose, they're really pleasant, and not too slow to serve you.
And Scott is you know raising his hand and waving and making sure that we don't forget to mention one of his things that he mentioned, which was another one from our Crescent Lake Bar Crawl Cruise Cup Lounge. Cruise Cup for me got knocked down because they were a little clueless behind the bar.
A little.
Okay, they were a lot clueless behind the bar. They totally botched Tim's drink.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did have really good garlic fries.
Well, that was just it. They had terrific truffle fries, and
the bartender that had been there, or not a bartender, sorry, one of the waitresses had been there since they opened.
Wow.
Which is unusual. Clearly an off night.
It was an interesting atmosphere. There were, you know, some of the seating areas would have been really great for like a group of four or five. We were a bigger group, and so it was kind of awkward because we had all it forced us to divide into two groups because you had to sit with your backs to each other.
Exactly. Couldn't carry in a conversation.
Yeah, which was odd. But that was I blame us mostly because, you know, we were a bigger than normal group for a lounge like that. And if we were a smaller group, I kind of like those little, you know, those intimate groupings, and they were comfortable, so they get points for that. Like I said, the food was quite good. I did have dinner there, but I don't know what it was with the bartender. They just seemed to be a little slow. I mean, you know, Joe had a similar experience where he ended up with a milkshake instead of the drink that he ordered.
Exactly. I mean, what person in their right mind who's watched The Big Lebowski doesn't know how to make a White Russian? Am I right?
Yeah. It was a little odd.
So, oh wow, I totally missed that there, but that's not surprising. That was a lot of drinks in by that point.
Yeah. Right. Well, that was the botched drink experience that came out more like a I guess more like a milkshake sort of thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, on my hand, and I played it safe, I guess. I got a bourbon flight, and that was good, and it was nice that it was available, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, but even that, frankly, it took an oddly long time to be served a drink that didn't involve anything more than pouring.
Keep it simple, right?
Exactly. Scott says his side of the seats had a great experience. So I don't know, maybe they had the better server or something and that helped. Like I said, ultimately it was not a bad experience. And my own opinion is it probably would have been a better experience with a somewhat smaller group. But you know, its strength was the food.
Yeah, it did make my honorable mention list, just not quite strong enough to make it into the top five.
Well, honestly, when you're sitting, you know, hanging around with your friends and having some drinks, can you really qualify that as a bad time? I don't think so.
That is very true.
That's why I said the honorable mention for me is the Hess Station. get a case of beer and bring it back to the room. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, I'm going to kind of just go around, catch any last thoughts from the panelists here. Justin, anything that you want to add, any summary that comes to mind here, common threads that you saw in any of these, or places that came up that you now know really want to try that you haven't checked out yet?
Well, I'll say, first of all, I have not done the Dawa Bar, so I'm going to have to check that out because it's obviously high on some people's lists that I do like.
Best bar in the best part.
But I'll also say that there are so many places at Walt Disney World to experience, and I've only feel like I've experienced a fraction of them. Obviously, the ones that I've mentioned are ones that I've had experience with and created memories, and I guess that's what Disney World's all about for all of us anyway, is creating memories. But, or half memories,
vague recollections,
whatever you can remember of it.
A lounge, but there's some great themed places, and anywhere that you can get some good service and some good libation is good for us.
All right. Any last thoughts, Tim?
Oh, yeah, I got a couple of good honorable mentions, and one, and I'll tell you why they don't make the list. One is the Sanaa Lounge at Kidani Village at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and they have very good drinks. It's the standard, you know, Disney alcoholic beverage menu, but the bread service, to me, sets them apart. They're really, really good, but again, you know, that it may not make the list because, yeah, I'm a DVC member. That's my home resort. We're there a lot, and I really enjoy it, but it's not necessarily the easiest thing for anybody else to get to if you're not staying there. So that would be my knock on that. Otherwise, my other honorable mention would be Olivia's at Old Key West. It's not a bar, it's the restaurant, but the drinks are really, really good. And there's one there called the Turtle Crawl, and it's been probably 6 years since I've been there, six, maybe even 7 years since I went there. But yeah, I just remember tasting that drink and going, oh my gosh, this is one of the best drinks I ever had.
Okay. So a couple of additional mentions on the list there for Tim. Terry, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I got a couple more on there. I really, really, really wanted to put Victoria Falls Lounge on the list, but I just couldn't. I found it just too loud. Kabuki Cafe over in Epcot, Japan. Fantastic place. Only place you can get Kirin beer. That's absolutely fantastic, and I love Japan there. But River Roost, you know, there's been, we haven't had anybody mention anything about River Roost here, and I've only been there once, and they, that is where Hee Haw Bob plays, right?
Yep, that's it.
And unfortunately, when we were there, he wasn't playing, but I think if I had been there when he was playing, it probably would have made my top five.
All right, fair enough. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Victoria Falls was definitely an honorable mention on my list. I know that's one that Kevin Crossman was lobbying for, and I enjoy it a lot. It can get really loud there, and my other complaint about Victoria Falls is it seems to me that it closes earlier than it ought to, or at least stops serving earlier than it ought to. You know, if I'm staying at the hotel, then I like having a place where I can, you know, sit and hang for a while. And I'm a big boy. I can decide when it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, of course, the one place that hasn't been on the list, hasn't been mentioned yet at all, but is probably the place for the best laughs that you'll ever have is the Distad Party Room. At any of the conventions, you're going to bust a gut and have a fantastic time there.
That's true.
Yeah, it just needs to be accessible next time, that's all.
We see what we can do.
All right, well, you know, you've heard from us. We've been rambling for about an hour on our favorite bars and lounges, and you shared some of your ideas with us on social media right before the show, but we'd love to hear more from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com. You can tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. I also, before I wrap us up, want to encourage anybody who's listening, if you haven't done an iTunes review for us in a while, we'd really appreciate some fresh iTunes reviews. Those help make it easier for new listeners to find the show, because shows that have stale reviews kind of drop down in the search results when people search for new podcasts to listen to. So if you are enjoying the show and can take a couple of minutes to hit us up on iTunes and write just a quick review for us, that would be great. If you're not enjoying the show, just forget that I said any of that, and please stay away from iTunes completely. But until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Tim Hicks.
Good night, everyone.
Terry Hawkins.
See you at the Dawa Bar. Jumbo, everyone.
And Justin West.
Happy drinking, everyone.
Got it. Nailed it.
That was fun. I can't believe I've never been to Jelly Rolls there, but that ranks on just about everybody's top 10 list for lounges. But anybody been there?
No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah, I've been there.
I'm not a big fan of the dueling piano bar thing.
Oh, okay.
Which one were you asking about, Terry?
Jelly Rolls.
Oh, yeah. Jason Mitz is a fan. He mentioned it in the social media responses.
Yeah.
But see, for me, Jelly Rolls gets a nod because you have to pay a separate cover charge for it.
Oh, yeah.
And, the only cover charge that I'm willing to pay at Walt Disney World is the one I have to pay to enter the park.
Yeah. Interesting thing, too, Trader Sam's. I mean, I couldn't rank it because I haven't been there.
Well, and that's the problem with Trader Sam's, right? I mean, it's hard for me to rank it high just because it's so hard to get in. You've got to really set aside time to do it, and I think that's why a number of places maybe, didn't score as well in our rankings, because it's just hard to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, Trader Sam's just fell right off the list. Just, I mean, it wasn't hard for us to get into. Granted, it was kind of later at night, but it just was unremarkable to me. Of course, I didn't try the Nautilus.
Okay. Yeah. And Tim, you brought up a great point about the pool bars. I mean,
we could almost do a whole show on pool bars. Because there are some significant differences, and there are some that are much better than others.
Oh, yeah. The one at the Polynesian, awesome.
Right. Well, yeah, the one at the Poly is a favorite. Actually, Paul asked us not to talk about the pool bar at the Poly because he wanted it to remain a little under the radar.
That's the barefoot pool bar?
Yeah.
The one that you'll always find Paul at?
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like I was not impressed with the pool bar at Port Orleans French Quarter.
Right. I had a fantastic experience there, but then, as Tim pointed out, so much of it is interaction with the CM, right?
Oh, sure.
Right.
And we had a fantastic cast member there. And looking forward to the Edison and Neverland Tunnels and Walt's Place opening up. Those are going to be...
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep coming up with new stuff that's going to be coming at Disney Springs. It's like, I'm going to have to start setting aside time specifically to, go check those places out.
Yeah, exactly. Those half-day park of Hollywood Studios is not so bad anymore.
Right? Well, no, I was just going to say
you could spend the other half of your day at TuneIn Lounge.
What's that?
You could spend the other half of your day at TuneIn Lounge.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I plan to do. No, there was a cast member at the...